In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a very important solemnity coming up on the 8th of December. It's Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. And there's a feast day which is also held on the 12th of December, and that is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Immaculate Conception, she herself appeared in Mexico at Mount Tapiac, and it was back in the year of 1532. It was a time of great turbulence throughout the world. Protestantism had been accelerating. 7-8 million Catholics had apostatized, and Our Lady appeared to dearest Juan Diego in a very affectionate way, and so doing, he was asked to be her messenger and go to Bishop Zumarokara, Franciscan bishop, and ask him to construct a little chapel for Jesus there at Mount Tapiac. And Juan Diego, who had converted to Catholicism only 10 years earlier, was the one who was to be given this job. He thought himself most inapt, but nevertheless a beautiful conversation which was spoken between the two is something which warms the heart and shows very much the beauty of Our Lady. She is our mother. So I'm going to read to you a little bit about this conversation which has been recorded. "Listen, Wayne, my dearest and youngest son, where are you going?" He was going to the other side of the mountain to visit his uncle, who was very sick. And he had heard unusual birds singing, and he knew that this was not the native birds, but something celestial. And this is what Our Lady had said to him: No, for sure, my dearest, littlest and youngest son, that I am the perfect and ever virgin Holy Mary, Mother of God, of truth, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things near us, the Lord of heaven and earth. I want very much to have a little house built here for me, in which I will show him, I will exalt him and make him manifest. I will give him to the people in all my personal love, in my compassion, in my help, in my protection, because I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries, my lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships and sufferings, and to bring about what my compassionate, merciful concern is trying to achieve, you must go to the residence of the Bishop of Mexico and tell him that I send you to show him how strongly I wish him to build me a temple here on the plain. You will report to him exactly all you have seen, admired, and what you have heard. I know for sure I will appreciate it very much, be grateful and reward you. And you will deserve very much the reward I will give you for your fatigue, the work and trouble that my mission will cause you. Now, my dearest son, you have heard my breath, my word. Go now, put forth your best effort." And so he went to Bishop Zumarokara, and the consequence was that he was rejected. But Bishop Zumarokara had asked for a sign that the celestial being, allegedly that Juan Diego had said was Our Lady, would make known to the bishop a way in which he could indefatigably say that is Mary, the Mother of God. Anyway, he found another way to try and get around Our Lady, but she moved to the other side of the mountain when he tried to get past her, and in so doing, she spoke to him again. "Listen to me, my youngest and dearest son. know for sure that I do not lack servants and messengers to whom I can give the task of carrying out my words, who will carry out my will. But it is very necessary that you plead my cause, and with your help and through your mediation, that my will be fulfilled. My youngest and dearest son, I urge and firmly order you to go to the bishop again tomorrow, tell him in my name, and make him fully understand my intention that he start work on the chapel I'm requesting. Tell him again that I am the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of God, who is sending you. The clear message in it all is that Our Lady could choose many other people to do her work, but she's choosing each and every one of you to do something very specific for her. And one of the beautiful things which is very close to Our Lady is that privilege of the Immaculate Conception, meaning that from that first moment when she came into existence, there was no sin. And we know also with Saint Aslam, who is a doctor of the Church, that he talks also about that first moment of conception as the conception of a human being, and God actually infuses a soul at that time and also appoints a guardian angel for the infant. So when we look at life, we look at Mary because she is the life. She brings new life into the world. The new life, of course, is Jesus. Jesus and Mary are the new Adam and the new Eve, the new generation. It is because of them, her yes, her fiat, that we have salvation. And because of that, therefore, we need to have recourse to Our Lady. And this is something which is very particularly said, especially by Pope Benedict in these days. He talks about, as you heard earlier at the homily of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, of self-giving. That self-giving of oneself to Our Lady. And that is what we call total consecration. You heard of the words totus tuus, which was the slogan for Pope John Paul II. Blessed that he is. He was the one who had a tremendous impact for the 27 years of his reign as Pope throughout the world, because wherever he would go, whatever shrine he would go to, after kissing the glands where he first disembarked the aeroplane, he would then consecrate that country, quite commonly without even being known to others, to the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And this is a message of Fatima. This is the message on the 13th of July, which was being brought forward to again as, make no mistake about it, the Fatima prophetic mission is not complete. It is continuing today. But in order to overcome the deluge of evil which is coming, and it make no diffidence about this, there's more evil coming, especially when the institutions of government are legislating gay marriage, and also the abortion issues in this country haven't been resolved at the legislative level. Very few abortion clinics have closed. But what has been said clearly by the Pope and also the message of Fatima is this need to give ourselves to Our Lady, to entrust ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. And the Pope had mentioned on May 13th, 2010, at that time it was in Fatima, the three children, Jacinta, Francesco and Lucia, they were the ones who were given the message of Fatima, which is a penitential life, giving yourself over to Our Lady, entrusting yourself to Our Lady, and in doing that, it will bring about a change and an aversion from the evils which are pending to encroach the world. And as you know, the Second World War broke out, it didn't have to. The First World War could have finished earlier, it didn't. And now we have what is known as a deluge of filth which is permeating through the media, which is destroying the innocence of our children. So what is this consecration to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart? It is entrustment. We're doing effectively the same as what the Word of God was sent to do, to dwell amongst us. Mary is not a vessel. She is the beautiful and most great of all the creations God ever brought into existence. And she was immaculately conceived to be the tabernacle, to be the home, to be the paradise on earth for our blessed Lord. It was there that he lived for the 9 months of his life before his birth, and she had been prepared for that by Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, because it was in the womb of Saint Anne that she was immaculately conceived, and it was from there that she then was to partake in a life of sanctity from 3 years of age. The tradition of the church tells us that she resided in the temple. So St. Anne, who had waited 20 years to give birth to a child, she was barren like Elizabeth and like Sarah, but she was being also sanctified. And when Joachim and Anne met, it was the conception of Our Lady, and Our Lady then was able to bring forth what we know, Jesus. So that Immaculate Conception in the womb of St. Anne was something prepared. St. Anne was prepared, St. Joachim was prepared for it. Why barrenness? And then, like God was able to make virginity conceived, he was also able to make barrenness fertile. God is able to do that. And as Blessed John Duns Scotus had said, Mary was pre-redeemed before the event of the Passion because God chose to do it that way. He could do it that way, and he did do it that way. And hence we have the understanding of the Immaculate Conception, which was the dogma in 1854. It was after the image that we have on the altar of the miraculous medal, which is at Rudebeck. Catherine Laboureille received the apparition of Our Lady, and around the words which are on and indented into that perfect sculpture by the perfect sculptress Our Lady is the words, Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. They are the words of Immaculate Conceived. And it was after that, at Lourdes, we find that Saint Bernadette was notified by Our Lady herself that I am the Immaculate Conception. There is only one Immaculate Conception. I am who am, from the burning bush were the words spoken by God to Moses. And it was also Our Lady now speaking, I am. There is only one I am who am God. I am the Immaculate Conception. There is only one, that is Our Lady. She was formed and in the mind of God before all eternity to be the mother of Jesus. Now, what we're saying and what God has asked us to do because of the 13th of June, the apparition in 1917, Jesus wants to make use of you in order to make me known and loved. This is what he's saying to the three seers. He wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart in the world. I will never abandon you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. And then later on, it's also talked about, I will return and ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and for the communion of reparation for the first Saturdays of the month. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. To consecrate is to make holy, to consecrate ourselves to make holy so that we become like Christ to other people. We need to know Our Lady. How do we know Our Lady? We give ourselves and our will to her, and she will then form you into instruments like she herself is an instrument and cause of grace. We also become her co-workers, like in the wedding feast of Cana. When she spoke to Jesus, he effected the miracle, the changing of the water into wine. He himself, after Our Lady had told to the servants, do whatever he tells you to do, brought about this stupendous manifestation of divinity, the first public miracle of our Lord. It was at her request, and in so doing, she needed the cooperation of the servants. So Our Lady needs our cooperation in order to distribute the graces which are not being asked for, as was revealed at Rudebeck to St. Catherine Laboureille. And how is this to happen? We're to ask her first for the graces, all of them. Ask for them today before you go, for all the graces you haven't asked for. Subject your will, as the will of God was subjected to Mary to come into being the person of Jesus in the flesh, So we also ask Our Lady to permeate us so that we, as Pope Benedict said so succinctly, that to worship God, you worship God through the heart of Mary. That is the perfect worship which can come from a creature. So Our Lady is inseparable and necessary for us to reach this latria, adoration and praise to God alone. She's not separate to the formula, she's included in the criteria necessary. Now, what Our Lady was able to do, as we see there with Our Lady of Guadalupe, she stood before the sun, she was greater than the sun, and the indigenous people knew if she's greater than the sun, then this woman is something special. She had a brooch around her which depicted to the indigenous people that she was sacred. They knew also that because of the standing on the moon, that also depicted an iconography to the west that this was virginity. When they saw, because they had no alphabet, the image of this woman, they knew that she was a divine person because she gave birth, and this is where it needs to be explained through, to a divine person. Divine maternity, she gave birth to the divine person. Jesus is inseparable in flesh and in divinity. So we now go back to Fatima, which is subsequent to some 350 years later, and we see that Our Lady also on the 13th of June is able to withhold the flaming sword which was to be struck to the earth. We also see in the latter apparition there, the last one on the 13th of October, how she was able, by her presence, able to stop the sun from colliding with the earth. So she's greater than those powers which are put in place in nature, because she has that unique role of being a mother of nature to Jesus and a mother to us by grace. We have the same mother as God has. Therefore, we go to her because that's the order of things. That's the way he decreed it. As Jesus was to come, he could have come to us in different ways. He could have come on a spaceship. He could have come, perhaps, like the pantheists, by way of being present everywhere in the existence of each molecule which is present in the atmosphere. He didn't. He didn't come either of those ways. He came through Mary. Therefore, it was preordained that Mary is necessary for salvation, as also Jesus is necessary for salvation. So you equate both, inseparable, or put another way, you find that at the Annunciation, which was the Gospel reading that we had today, overshadowed by God on high, conceived by the Holy Spirit, gave birth to Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. She is the cause of all the love and peace and virtues which are distributed to us because she is part of the Trinity, not as a person, but the Trinity loves us through her. Therefore, she plays a role in redemption. She's not equal to, she is a subject to, but God has put her in the order of the hypostatic union because she enfleshed, no one else enfleshed the Word. Therefore, she is to be given what is called hyperdulia, a reverence uniquely and only relevant to her. And dulia is for the saints. So bearing all this in mind, the Immaculate Conception is a day when we could prepare ourselves to entrust ourselves to Our Lady. And there are some books that I have at the back, which are, I'll be there immediately after, True Devotion to Our Lady, and also The Secret of the Rosary, because the Rosary is the way to prepare ourselves to make a consecration. And many of you, if you take the book, True Devotion to Mary, you will be able to find that there's a secret in there that's revealed to you later in the book. So it's very interesting reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.